Take your Bibles this morning. Please turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 this morning. John chapter 15, we'll be looking at verses 12 through verse number 17 this morning. And I want to look at the thought, the one who gave all. The one who gave all. You know, many times we will look at individuals and we would say, well, they gave this amount and that amount. But we're going to look at one who gave all that he could give. And as we look at this gift that he gave, the one who gave all, we also need to be reminded he gave all to who? To us. And we're going to see this here in a few moments in this great portion of Scripture. And in this great portion of Scripture, he refers to individuals as his friends, who he gave all to. And we're going to look at what made them his friends and why would he consider them to be his friends and why would he do this for them. And the better question is, why would God do what he did for you and for me? Why would God do that? I believe that is a question that many of us need to look at in our lives. Why would God do this for us? Now, maybe you're here this morning, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me say this. As we go through this, you will hear what is referred to as the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came to this world to seek and to save them which were lost. He came for the sole purpose of going to that old rugged cross that we're going to be looking at. And he died on that cross, rose again the third day to offer the only way of salvation. And the Bible says that we must call upon the name of the Lord, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're going to be looking at this gospel throughout this wonderful thought of the one who gave all. If you're able to, please stand with me. John chapter 15, starting in verse number 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, ye may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Heavenly Father, we ask as we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, that you would illuminate your Scriptures to us. Lord, help each of us to glean the truths that you want us to get this morning. Encourage our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The one who gave all is seen in his command. The one who gave all is seen in his command. Look again in verse number 12. A lot of times we get right into verse 13, which is a great verse. But verse number 12, I want us to look at this because I believe as we consider the one who gave all, we must consider verse number 12. And I want you to see an important truth here. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. It's seen in his command. His command is what? You go love as I have loved you. And as he gives this command, now we get into the next verses in a few minutes, and we see how he demonstrated, how he showed this love. The love he wants these individuals to have in John chapter 15 is the love that he is going to show and has shown in his life is that love that you and I ought to show in our lives. He says, you love one another. Now, the first command, the first thing we need to look at as we see this scene in his command is we are to love one another. Now, this is a basic Bible doctrine or Bible teaching throughout Scripture. Throughout Scripture, we are commanded and we are told we're to love one another. We're to love the saint, we're to love the sinner. We're to love our family, and we're to love our enemies. We are commanded throughout Scripture to show God's love one to another. Now, it's important that we understand it is to show God's love one towards another. We understand in our society, in our day, love has been taken and twisted all around. And true, purified, godly love is not what this world teaches love is. Love is not based on a feeling. Love is not based on emotion. Love is based on the Word of God. It's following the command of God. It's a choice that we choose to love. And this love that is shown is love that is going to be demonstrated in the next several verses. This is the love. This is the love that we ought to be showing one to another. We are to love one another. Now, I'm glad some of you are here this morning, because I miss picking on some individuals. And I asked one individual to sit in the very front row here, and he refused to. And he sat in the very back row. And now it makes me even more want to pick on this individual than I was going to. But we are to show this love. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave you alone right now, for right now at least. We are to show this love. This love we're to show one to another. And why we show individuals love? It's not because we're to show love because we're trying to boast ourselves up or we're trying to make ourselves look good. The reason we're to show this love to one another is because what? Because God has loved us. This is the command that is given as we look at the one who gave all. He says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. You. Now, that's simple, but it's complex. It's simple in the sense we understand we've been told God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's simple because we know that God loved us, so God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple in the sense that it's just words given there. But oh, it's complex because words don't mean anything. Action backs up the words. And the same in our lives. You can tell someone you love them, but it's shown vast differently how we act in our actions. Your kids can say, Mom, I love you. But if your kid does not listen to you and disobeys you all the time, it demonstrates if they truly love you or not. If the kid truly loved you, and we looked at this a couple weeks ago on Mother's Day, if your child truly loves you, your child's going to obey you. That's why the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we truly love somebody and someone, we're going to follow them. And we're going to get this a little further as we get in the scripture. But seeing his commandment, his love. He says, I love you. And I'm glad when God says, I love you, he doesn't just say it. He gave the ultimate price for what he's said. Now, some of you remember when you first started dating and you dated the individual that you eventually married. You remember when your spouse was Prince Charming. You remember those days. Some of you never had those days, but most of you did. And Prince Charming would always bring you something nice. Those that like flowers, it would bring you flowers. Those that like chocolate, bring you chocolate. Those that like those foo-foo coffee drinks, they would bring you those. Some of you, they didn't have those. All you had was your gas station coffee back then for a nickel that tasted like it sat on the coffee pot all day. But you'd bring that. And some of you, Tina, that was back in your day, right? And some of you, see, I'm glad you're back, Tina. And so, and he would have this. But there was something to show the action. And I'm glad God didn't say, hey, you love one another as I loved you, and then demonstrate. But he demonstrated. Look at verse number 13. We see it's seen in his command, the one who gave all, but it's seen in his sacrifice. It's seen in his sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love. This gives the idea of beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding. Now, I know some of you are very intelligent individuals out there. I know some of you aren't as intelligent as others out there. Because some of you, you like certain things that are not good, and you don't like certain things that are good. Now, liver and onions is good. Those who are intelligent like liver and onions. Now, Wade has a bunch of liver, and they've had it for a while. His wife will not allow him to cook it in the house. So if someone can help Wade and help him with this issue, and you don't mind your house having a smell, but I love liver and onions. We thought about doing it in the church, but we're afraid it might keep the smell for a while in the church. Some are intelligent, some aren't. Some like what is referred to as In-N-Out hamburgers. And some of us with the taste bud like White Castle. And so there's that whole thought there. Now, we're having fun with this. It's all right. Some of you like El Tanapa, and some of you like Chipotle's. Some have, we'll leave it alone there. But the idea is this, beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding, beyond all this, this is the idea, greater love. Beyond what you can think. You see, as we mentioned in the beginning, many people have a different view of love. But what the idea is, as this is being written, is to gear our attention, our understanding to a pure love. And this pure love is the love that's demonstrated in and through Christ. And greater love. No one ever had any more love than what is going to take place. And I know we say this a lot, but I think it becomes so trite to us many times in our lives. It's just a statement we say. Because we tend to forget this is the greatest demonstration, the greatest act of love that's ever been shown, that's ever been demonstrated. No one else has even come close. As much as you have tried to demonstrate love before in your life to one another, that love does not compare in the way that Christ showed his love to us. Nothing has ever come close. There's even been others that have done some great things throughout history and throughout life, but it does not compare to this love that God showed. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We see the one who gave all in his command, the one that gave all seen in his sacrifice, it was voluntary, lay down. Now, what is entailed in the whole idea of laying down? It means you're voluntarily. You know, someone says, who murdered Jesus? No one murdered Jesus. He laid down his life. Well, who tricked Jesus? Nobody tricked Jesus. He laid down his life. You see, the idea that we need to understand is it was a voluntary act. He did this because of his love. You see, he did this and he gave us the sacrifice here for us because of his love. He says, you love one another as I have loved you, and I loved you by giving myself for you. I lay down. I said, okay, I'm going to do the Father's will, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm going to give myself voluntarily to pay the price. Now, how many of you have been forced into do something in your life before? You did not want to do it. How many have ever had a job before? How many ever had a boss you didn't really care for before? How many ever had a boss that made you do something that you thought was just not the most intelligent thing? And you thought you'd know a whole lot better than he did, right? How many ever had a boss that was younger than you and you really struggled with that? All right, some of you. Well, Dick, never mind. We'll leave it alone. And we have this idea there of one that is given his life, he's not forced to do it. No one forced Jesus to go to that cross. The one who gave all voluntarily. I tell you, I think we need to grasp this a little bit in our lives. Because we get so used to the story of the cross and the story of the Lord giving his life, we forget that he did not have to go to that cross. He voluntarily gave himself. Now, we understand he fulfilled the Father's will. We understand it was given before the foundations of the world. We understand that God had a plan and God had a purpose. But he voluntarily gave his life on that cross for you and for me. He laid down. He gave himself. Now, some of you are more animal lovers than others. Some of you are better with animals than others. Some of you are able to get animals to do what you want them to do. Some, it takes a little persuasion to get the animals to do, and there's different ways of doing it and different ways to get them down. But those that have ever tried to have a dog when they're a puppy understand things a little differently than those that get a dog that's already been trained. Now, some of the hardest things with a dog is basically to get a puppy to submit and to lay down its will. Because a puppy likes to kind of do whatever it wants to do and doesn't want to have authority over it at this point. Kind of like a lot of toddlers and a lot of kids, right? But what has to happen? There has to be a submission that takes place. That submission is the laying down and saying, okay, I'm going to do it. What did Jesus do? He was still God. He was 100% God, 100% man. But what did he do? He laid his life down for you and for me. Why would he lay his life down for us? Why? Because he loved you. Go back to verse 12. Because he loved us. Love one another as I have loved you. You love one another as I have loved you. And I want to show you the greatest act was the greater love no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life. He gave his life for you and for me so we could have eternal life. He gave his life. How did he lay down? He voluntarily gave it. But let me tell you, this was not a nice little death. It was by all means a vicious death. Now, I am not trying to do this in a way to get people to go, ooh, and all that, but I want us to think. When he laid down his life, what did he do? He was crucified. What did they do? They took and they drove those spikes through his hands. He was scourged. He was mocked. He was beaten. The crown of thorns was placed upon his head. This was a very vicious death. This is not the way that many of us in this room would want to die. I tell you, I've thought about how I want to die. And I know some of you go, oh, that's kind of weird, but most of you probably thought that before. I tell you, there's two ways I want to die. One, I like to die in my sleep and done. The other way, and I know you're going to find this funny, I would rather die eating White Castle than anything else. And so I can go out in glory. But we've thought about ways. See, you guys are awake. We got you laughing. There's ways. But this was a voluntary death. It was a vicious death, but it was a victorious death. Because we understand the plan God had before the foundations of the world, that God was going to send his Son, the perfect Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish, and he was going to come and he was going to pay that price. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. And without Jesus Christ's blood being shed, placed in the borrowed tomb, and rising the third day, there is no salvation. Without the resurrection, without the death, burial, and resurrection, we have no hope. We have no salvation. Greater love hath no man than this, that man laid down his life for his friends. He gave his life so you and I could have life. It's seen in his command. It's seen in the sacrifice. But look at verses 14 to verse 15. It's seen in his request. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. It's seen in that he is commanding these individuals to follow him. His request is this: love as I love. Understand my love I've showed you. And if you are my friends who I am giving my life for, then you will do what I've commanded you to do. As we look at this one who gave all, he gave his life so those can have salvation. But this is what we do many times in our life. We count salvation as a get-out-of-free-jail card. Those that play Monopoly know what I'm talking about. We have our get-out-of-jail-free card. We have our salvation. And then we think we can just go around doing whatever we want to do. But God says this: love as I tell you to love, because I have loved you. Then because I have loved you, I demonstrate it in giving my life for you, lay down my life. And as I gave down and laid down my life for you, now I want you to understand, if you're my friends, if you're truly in me, if you're truly one of mine, you're going to follow what I tell you to do in your life. Some people say, well, I can do whatever I want to do. Yeah, you can. You can choose to sin and choose to disobey God. But if you're truly in Christ, we are not perfect, none of us. But we will have a desire to follow God. The Bible says when you get saved, you become a new creature in him. Old things are passed away, all things become new. We become different. We have new desires, new way of thinking, new, all different. Does not mean we're perfect. And I understand that many of us struggle with this sometimes because it feels like all we hear is about, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, and and we think we can never mount up to that. God doesn't ask us to be perfect. God asks us to strive to live as he wants us to live. And we're going to fail, but God will forgive us, get us back up, and get us going again. But this love is demonstrated, the one who gave all, and the quest that is seen in the quest. Their quest is, follow me. Follow me. I believe many believers today struggle with following God. They will follow anything and everything but what we're supposed to follow in our lives. But not only is it seen in their quest, it's seen in this area of following after him. He also says if you follow, and it's seen in this request, is that he will reveal, he will give this understanding and this truth. But look at verse 16. It's also seen. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye shall go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. That whatsoever he shall ask of the Father my name, he may give it you. As we're looking at the request given here, look at verse 16. He reminds them who saved them. God saved them. I cannot tell you why God would want to save me. I could definitely not tell you why God would want to save some of you, Brother Rex. I don't understand why God, see, you should have sat in the front row. Why God would want to save us, and why God chose to save you and to save me. Why God gave his son for you and for me. Why God offers salvation to mankind and is given there. Why God would do that. I don't understand why, but God wanted to save me. And some of you go, why in the world? Yes, but he did. We ought to look at this, and it ought to stop us as we look at the one who gave all. The one who gave all loved mankind, and he loved you. He knew you before you ever were born, and when he went to that cross, he went to that cross for you and for me. My sin took him to that cross, and he saved us. I'm so glad God's the one that sought me, because he had to open my eyes. The Bible tells me in Ephesians, I was blind in my trespasses of sin. It's God who took and opened my eyes, and I saw my need of salvation. It is God that worked in my heart and drew me unto himself. Religion does not save an individual. A prayer does not save an individual. Rituals do not save an individual. Going through some type of teachings or catechisms or any of those type of things does not save an individual. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ and him alone, for salvation is found in him. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. That is the only way of salvation. But I have chosen you, now get this, I've saved you and ordained you that you do something. You see, the one that gave all saved us, told us, you got to love one another. He went in and showed how he showed his love. And then as he went in and showed his love, he says, I have a request for you to do some things. And one of the requests that we're to do is, because he has chosen us, because he has saved us, he has ordained us, or he has equipped us, that we should go and bring forth fruit. Now the one that saved you has equipped you to go and do what he wants you to do. Some say, well, I can't bring forth fruit. I can't go and do, and I can't go and serve, and I can't go and live, and I can't have fruit in my life. Yes, you can. If you're truly saved, he who saved you, ordained you, or equipped you, that you go and do what he's commanded you to do. I'm glad God doesn't tell us to go do something and says, you're on your own. God says, no, you go and do something, but I'm there with you. I have ordained you. I've equipped you. I've given you all that you needed, that you go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, because our fruit is not based upon what we do and who we are. Our fruit is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that produces that fruit in and through our lives, and that's why it remains. That's why it stays. See, the fruit we produce, and some of us try to produce our own fruit. And the fruit we produce is wood, hay, and stubble. It's not going to remain. It's not going to stay. What do you mean? Have you ever met someone that's saved? And I'm careful how I say that. They're saved. They're a believer. And they act like the most spiritual individuals, and they have all this so-called fruit. And they're on all this stuff in their life. And then a couple years later, you meet them, and you don't see any of this in their lives. I think a lot of that is self-produced fruit. And that back then, not God producing that fruit in and through their lives. Because the fruit God produces remains in our lives. And that's why if you go into what the fruit of the Spirit is, and we don't have time to go on all that, you look at the fruit that's produced and all that's given there. That whatsoever ye shall ask in my Father's name, ye may give it to you. basically it's saying when you're right with God, God's producing that fruit. You're fulfilling the will that is told of you and shown of you. Then you will get what you ask. God gave all. God gave his son for you and for me. Love has never been demonstrated any other way, any greater than this way. But because of this love, I ought to love one another. Because of this love that he gave all, I ought to follow him. Because of this love, I ought to have fruit producing in my life, true fruit, godly fruit in my life. Because of this love, I have access to the Father, the one who gave all. I can pray, and in his will, and right with him, he'll give what I ask. But it's a privilege I have because of the one who gave all. That's why the Bible says we can go boldly unto the throne of grace. I can go before him and I can go to prayer and I can communicate with him. Why? Because the one who gave all, the one who saved me, the one who did this, now gives me access to him. What a wonderful thought there. But look a little further there. Verse 17, we'll close with verse 17 as we wrap this all together. These things I command you, that he love one another. You know, it's interesting, this section starts with loving one another and ends with loving one another. And I want to end with us loving one another in this realm. We are in a day and age where we need to be demonstrating God's love. There are many individuals who are hurting. There are many individuals who are seeking help. And let's be honest this morning. Only those that know the author of this book can offer the help that is needed. And I'm to love one another. The love God showed is the love I'm supposed to show. And I need to show it to those that are hurting today. Those in our world today that need this love. And we are to show it. There are many individuals who have many struggles, many things happen in their lives, and they need God's love shown to them. Now, please understand what I'm going to say. This does not mean you go and bail them out of every issue and every problem that they're having. What this means is you show them the love of God and you have compassion and you show them their truest need, their greatest need, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Either it's the greatest need in regards to salvation or it's his greatest need to cast all the cares upon him. But the greatest need that every individual has today and the love that we need to show is drawing people or pointing people to Jesus Christ. Now, if you're able to help people, that's great. If you're able to help finance that, but that's not the greatest need this morning. The greatest need in our world today is people to know who the one was that gave all for them. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest need for this world, this nation, is not all the things that are happening and people think we need these handouts and we need all this other stuff going on. That's not the greatest need. The greatest need in our day is not all these politicians and all these different things and all the greatest need today is that God's children truly love one another and we point people back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest need for this world today and the greatest need for all mankind is to know who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ did for them and how he died for them, gave his life and rose again the third day and offers salvation. The greatest need for our nation today is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to love one another enough to take it and to share it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He gave his life for you and for me. Let's share it. Because that's what's going to change this world. And that's what's going to bring a healing in this land. And that's what's going to bring people back to a normal, is when people turn to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this message. Lord, we thank you for these verses. We thank you that you gave all, you gave your life for us. And Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that was given. We thank you for the command, the request. Lord, we thank you for all that we've looked at this morning. But Lord, help us to live it in our lives. Help us, through your help, produce fruit. And that fruit will remain because it's your fruit. And as we go out, that we would truly love one another. And we love one another by sharing the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, even in this day, in this age, and all that's happening, the greatest need is the gospel to be given out. And help us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Heads bowed, eyes closed as you stand with me. Pianist is going to start to play. As the pianist starts to play this morning, maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. There's never been that time in your life where you turn to the Lord. Bible says it's by faith. We turn and we put our faith and trust in him. Repent of our sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and he will save you. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Today can be your day of salvation, the Bible says. Maybe you're saved, but you never follow the Lord in obedience and baptism. That's a step of obedience after salvation. It's to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to follow his command that's given. Believer, maybe we just need to love as God has loved us. Maybe we just need to be reminded of that love God showed us about him giving all. And as we saw how God gave us all, we need to go and show that love to this world. Maybe you have someone that God has even placed upon your heart during this message. Go and share the love of God with them. Go and love them and let them know that God loved them so much that he gave his life for them. Let's show God's love. God's worked in your heart anyway this morning. We're going to sing that hymn, The Love of God, 130. If you need it, it's in your hymn book, 130. As we sing, let God work in your life.
Pardon from his sin. Oh,
shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who rear refuse to pray, her rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, a measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and where the skies a parchment made, wherever stalk on earth a quill, in every man a sky by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole strength to sky. The love of